Hi, I'm Erin Sarofsky.
And I'm Austin Shaw.
This is Between the Keyframes. This week, we're going to be talking about feedback.
That's right. And this idea that if you are a designer and you're going to have a client, then you are going to have feedback. It's part of the
process. You're going to have feedback. Totally a natural part of the job. It's interesting because over the course of our careers, I would say that majority of the job is navigating feedback. So not only will you have to address your internal feedback of your creative directors and your peers and making sure everybody's on the same page, but you'll also have feedback from your clients. And if it's an agency, then your client's clients. You got layers within those clients that get to have their turn. Right. And sometimes you even get my 11-year-old son saw me looking at this file and he has a little feedback. So it's just interesting. You have to learn how to navigate it. You know, that's just part of the job. It's a natural part of the job.
Right. Revisions are more or less the process of how you start a project.
Totally. So let me ask you, how many times have you done something and sent it and had a client go, yep, that's it. I know there were another 2 weeks left on the job and I paid you all this money, but this is what we're running with.
You know, I have had a couple few instances. I don't know if it's ever been that, just like,
boom.
It's, you know, but I have had here's that first pass and I'm ready. I'm ready for notes. I'm ready to address it. And they're just like, awesome, done. Like, I've had that happen, but it's also on a much smaller scale.
Okay.
Right. This is me, my direct client kind of small operator.
No, that's good to know.
But I've had a few instances of that. But
in how many years?
Far,
how many years?
You know,
how many
this
years?
This is going on 20 years.
Okay.
Mostly, it is not that. Wait, have you, has the studio ever had that?
No.
You're like, no. No way, right?
No way. It's just that. We have had oh my God, this is amazing. I don't even know what to say. Where we have to walk them through the process of giving feedback. But
right.
Nobody's ever. Yeah.
And I think the scale, that makes sense because it's a different scale that we're talking about. More lines or levels of approval that need to happen. But I pulled up a dictionary definition of feedback.
Okay.
I like definitions. I like words. So as a noun, information about reactions to a product, person's performance of a task, etc., which is used as a basis for improvement. So I like that. That information about reactions to a product or a performance. So you're presenting, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's become almost second nature, this idea of work in progress, which is something I have to remember with students. They don't always understand that. That's something I'm basically teaching them.
Yeah.
But which is used as a basis for improvement. I think this is important for students. The feedback isn't about trying to tear your work down as much as it's about trying to help it improve and fulfill a goal.
I think that's really important. To really be able to address feedback, you have to have some kind of goal, some kind of definition of success, of what success is, you know? So, and then as you get feedback, you can kind of process it through that lens of well, how do I deal with this feedback trying to get here? Okay, well, let's talk about feedback for students, because I think you're right.
Yeah.
Coming into the industry, I think some students are prepared more than others, but I feel like sometimes students don't really understand that feedback is a major, major part of the process.
Right. That essentially what they're preparing for through their academic journey is to enter a profession that is based around feedback.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about critiques, because I loved critiques in college. I loved showing the work. I loved talking about the work. Yeah, it's an opportunity to break it apart, talk about what's working and what's not, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. And I think something that I do, especially for newer students, younger students, as they are just getting into, you know, their major, who maybe haven't even been in a critique before.
Right.
It's just to frame it. You know, what is a critique? What's the point of it, right? Totally. We're going to be looking at work. We're going to be talking about work. We're going to do it for the purpose of trying to help make it better. So it's usually I'll suggest, you know, look at the piece, is what's working. Can you identify what's working in it? And then what can be improved? What can be made better? Or what's not working, but I like to frame it probably in.
Well, what can be with made kiddos, better. It's good to, I think yeah. kiddos, but with students, it's good to lean on positives. No, which,
exactly. I found that to be helpful because you can get really, I've seen students get defensive and get really sensitive about it. And
yeah.
So just to frame it that way. Also to just make sure that they're staying in bounds, that they're talking about what we're looking at. And I try to approach it from a really objective standpoint in the sense of, you know, let's look at this formally, right? This is the composition. You know, we can look at it in terms of positive and negative space. We can look at it in terms of dark and light values. I'm getting feedback from my dogs.
Getting feedback. When you saw Luna, she was circling. Yeah. She heard a pupper.
Yeah, yeah. We can look at it in terms of, you know, I don't know if I just said contrast, light and dark,
yeah, but
that's always one that I'm looking at.
The fundamentals,
at.
Color theory,
yeah,
font.
Totally. Exactly. All of exactly. That. And then with motion, it's like, you know, timing. We can look at it purely as like, is this thing up, is it up long enough for us to read? Is it up way too long and I've completely like gone somewhere? Like there's some real, you know, without getting into even the subjective qualities of it. You know, so just leading them in how to critique is important.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know, we'll look at a piece and I'll just put it up and I'll replay it down and I'll say, you know, all right, so what do you think? And sometimes it can be silence. So I'm like, well, do you like it? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, great. What do you like about it? Right. Like to pull it out of them, to get them to start identifying some of those qualities. And to build, a culture of critique and feedback
that
feels supportive, that feels that they can be vulnerable, that they're not just going to get torn down for the sake of getting torn down. But maybe they will get torn down, but to be built back up a little better, you know. And one thing I do working with style frames and design boards, right, one of the first things we'll do is like we'll put up a design board and I'll ask if every style frame feels like it belongs.
Right, that's a good idea.
And then they'll be like, yes. And I'll be like, okay, great, why? And then they'll look and they'll be like, well, the color palette, it's consistent throughout. And I'm like, yes.
Right.
And then, you know, texture is consistent or the typeface, it's all about identifying patterns of consistency that hold that style together.
I want there to be a class for all designers, like motion, any kind of design that is required, not elective, that you start with one project and then for 10 weeks, every week you have to revise it based on either an alteration in the brief or a change in direction or just feedback so that they're used to the process of taking this thing that they made that they love and reconfiguring it and reworking it and, oh, the audience changed. Now let's do that. Or, oh, this client saw it and they decided they don't like this color palette at all. Or they want to go back to the old logo. We get that stuff all the time. So it's like, that would be an interesting class to see.
Keeping it real.
Kids really kind of took it seriously.
No, that's great because it's true. Like in a class most of the time, I give feedback. If a student doesn't follow it, you know, there's not a ton I can do about it, right? They don't feel like there's, they look at it much more as a suggestion than as a explicit command. You must do this, you know? And I've had these types of, like collaborative, like external partners who have sponsored a class. I've led a few of those. And it's interesting, and there's sort of probably two ideas from that. One of them being that, you know, we'll do a midpoint with this external partner, we'll present the work, the client will give feedback. I'll take notes. I see the students are taking notes. I'm shaking my head. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. The students are shaking their heads. I'm like, okay, we're all on the same page. You know, I'll check in with them a couple of days later to see how they've addressed the notes, and they haven't, right? And I'm like, what happened, right? Like I imagine that we all heard the same feedback and interpreted it the same way. And that's not always the case. And that it does take experience, just time, being in the grind, being in the trenches, listening, like getting the feedback, having to respond quickly, having to iterate, having to ask for clarification, and that students just do not always have that, or they just assume that they can ignore it if they don't agree. Where I'm like, you know, like, I'm like, why isn't this more blue? And they're like, well, we didn't think that was a good idea. And I'm like, that's what the client, we got to show them more blue because that's what they asked for specifically. This isn't like up for debate. And so to educate them in that process is, you know, that's been interesting.
That's funny.
Yeah. Do you ever get like emotions kicked up from feedback?
Yeah, I especially get emotions around it when I know they're right and when I know it's going to be near impossible to address them. So my emotions come from a different place of like, fuck.
Right.
They noticed. They caught it, you know.
Yeah, you're not getting defensive as and taking it as a measure of your self-worth.
Yeah, no, and it's like, okay, well, how can I really genuinely solve the problem? And if I'm stuck, I ask somebody for a fresh eye, because sometimes that's what you need, like, to take a step back and say, like, hey, where is this feedback really coming from? What is really the problem? And what am I not thinking about to solve this, you know? Because I do believe there's always an answer. It's just that, like, sometimes the production paradigm is like they need to see something in 2 hours, or we only have X number of dollars for it, or we can't go back and reshoot. And that was a problem. So, like, how do we kind of use the process to, like, still continue to make this better? But
right. What about the senior artists that you work with or that you've seen? What do you think it is that gets them triggered emotionally?
Well, I think that they feel ownership over the work. I think in general, whether you're younger or older, it's hard just to not take it personally. Like, this thing that you created is somewhat of your baby, and somebody calling it ugly or saying it doesn't work or disagreeing with your point of view can feel prickly. It doesn't feel necessarily constructive. Sometimes how feedback is given, sometimes it's just
The way it's delivered, if it's too
blunt, that's
too
really
harsh.
Hard. Or it's not necessarily saying what's working, it's just saying what isn't. You know, everybody's style of how they give feedback is a little bit different. So yeah, people can get real emotional about it. It can
that
also
made me
feel
think
like
of,
yeah.
I was gonna say, it made me think of a funny story where I was pretty junior, it's going way back now, and I was working on this project, and then the client came to the studio, and I thought it was like in a really good place, and it was like, okay, cool, and we showed it to it, and the client was just like, okay, good start. And it was like, oh shit. You know, it was like that moment where you just knew, like, oh, like, this is not like where I think it is not where they think it is. And that was the nice way of them saying, you know, this needs a lot of work still.
Well, but it also was a way of acknowledging your work so far.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so I mean, that was the best he could do in terms of, I'm assuming it's a guy, but
right.
Like, in terms of.
That became a little bit of a meme that, you know, my friend, my other freelance friends who were there at the time, we would sort of bust each other's chops all the time and just be like, good start. You know, whenever we did anything at that point, it's a good start. Good start. Which basically means like, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Well, it's not done, you know.
Not done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a good reality check is to remember that, like, actually the client owns the work. Like, very practically, like, it is theirs to put out there to reflect them. So even though you feel like you put your all into it and it represents your point of view and it was your talent and craftsmanship that got it there, that actually they're the ones that's got to wear it. They're the ones living with it. It's their house that they're living in. And I think the architect metaphor is perfect because,
yeah,
you know, an architect designs a house for you, the client. If it was just exactly what the architect wanted, it likely wouldn't service you. So you have to be open to the idea that somebody else has to live in this and live with it. And you, the maker, might have no kids and seven dogs, you know, but, you know, the person living it might have, you know, a big family and want a home office and
they need more than one bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And maybe a big open kitchen on a living room on a this with a, like, right. a, you know.
No, then that comes to that listening and recognizing, like, what mm-hmm. is the designer's role in a project, right?
Yeah.
As a creative problem solver for someone else. Someone yeah. else's problem, right?
Yeah.
You're helping them get there.
And I think just that awareness that you're working on behalf of somebody else who has to own it and wear it helps take some of the emotions away. Because it's like, hey, if you want 17 bathrooms in this house, like, okay, 17 bathrooms it is. Like, that's right. a lot of porcelain, but, you know.
A lot of house guests.
A lot of house guests. Yeah. Maybe it's an inn.
Well, and it's interesting, this idea of being of service. I know for me that's helped yeah. a lot because sometimes it's even with the idea of like putting too much pressure on myself to like get it to be what I think is the best thing ever, mm-hmm. right? Because it's, you know, I want it to be as good as it can be, whatever
right.
I'm working on, right? I want to give it my all. But sometimes it's like that can almost get a little bit stressful. So if it's mm-hmm. if it comes, it's like this isn't about me as much as it's about me helping this yeah. client solve their problem, right? And
right.
then I put myself in a position of service rather than trying to make it about me or like how good I am at this thing I'm doing.
Right.
You know, that helps me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true. I mean, to put that like in a very practical, real world sense, like, you know, we do a lot of this Instagram stuff. And it's always like logo first, sound off environment. And it's like, okay. So when you have an artist kind of pushing to like kind of take a few seconds to get to the logo or something like that, and they're like, well, it's got to build, it's got to do all these things. It's like, yeah, but like their business objective is to get somebody to like actually look at it and engage and have brand awareness as they're kind of moving through this environment. And if it's mid animation and it doesn't capture anybody in, you've lost the opportunity to tell them that
thumb scrolled by.
Yeah,
already.
Like it's gone.
Thumb stoppers. Gotta
yeah,
stop
so,
them thumbs.
So even if they don't stop, you see that it's by State Farm or by, you know, Liberty Mutual or by some other insurance company. You know,
right.
So that you at least get that like quick thing that they paid the media for, right? And then it's your job as a designer and storyteller to kind of keep them like and do that, to do both those things. But they have metrics and business objectives and all these other things that you have to really like, you can't just toss that out the window. Like those are the realities of your job. So to get emotional about a mandate is challenging to kind of help people through.
Right.
You know.
Right. Because it's, yeah, yeah. I think there's this, that idea of like healthy detachment, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, or almost knowing where to put the emotion and like mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, to put emotion against the guardrails doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Right? Like that's
totally.
It's not going to get you anywhere.
I think that leads us into talking about how to create a process that allows for the right feedback at the right time.
Right.
So it's really important when you set up a job for you, whether you're just one person working directly with client, especially for us as a studio where a lot of things
multiple
are going
people,
on.
Lots of moving yeah. parts.
Yeah. Anything you could do to create clarity is super helpful and important. So building out a schedule, identifying days on the schedule, being very specific about when they're going to see something, what they're going to see, and what we're going to need back. Also, getting into how much turnaround time feedback is. We have clients that like get on the phone, give us feedback, and we're off and running. But right now we have a client that's like, hey, we need 3 days to turn around feedback because I take it to my team, then my team blesses it, they take it to the client, then it goes a couple layers in the client. There's one client that's not really available all the time, so we need at least 3 days to turn feedback around. That's great, because then we're not sitting waiting going like, what's right. going on over there? Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's
like,
great that they told you that, right? Yeah. As opposed to just like you present and then crickets for 3 days go by.
Crickets.
Like, WTF, what happened to me?
Yeah. So that's great. I mean, but also I think individual artists need to think about their process. You know, when you don't check in for feedback to your creative director until 6 o'clock, you're basically guaranteeing that you're going to work late all the time and that the creative director is going to have to work late all the time. And then probably it's going to delay the posting, which means your producer has to work late and then the client. So, like, all of this stuff happens after you. So, if you develop a personal process and practice where you are checking in at 2 so that you can tell at 2 o'clock your creative director and producer and your teammates, hey, like, it's probably going to be more like 6:30 to address all that or 7, they can plan. They can let the client know. They can say, hey, is tonight essential or can we post first thing in the morning? Like, they can start figuring all of that out. But that's really important, I think, for individuals to think about, like, how they definitely impact that feedback loop.
Right.
And they are essential ingredient in that process, you know? So, and it's a quality of life thing at that point. If you're sending work late and it's like, you know.
Well, something I do with my clients, working direct client as a small operator, mm-hmm. is once the design's approved, I tend to, rather than just try to rough out the entire spot, I'll do a really tight motion test or two, right? And I might start with the open, or I might go to like just what I think is an interesting shot in the piece and
yeah.
really polish that, post it for the client, get feedback, repost until they sign off. And then that yeah. becomes my style frame in motion for how I'm going to iterate and apply that to the entire piece. And
right.
it's just an efficient process. You know, if I did the entire rough cut, posted it, and then they weren't feeling it, like, I've wasted a lot of time.
A lot of time. And it's yeah. your fault. You have to give them the opportunity to influence the outcome. You know?
Yeah.
That's, don't understand. That's what I think right. people don't understand. Like, they're not going to see this amazing thing you've created and not give comments. It's just right. like, have you invited the comments at the right time during the process so that you're not totally stripped apart?
Right. You know? And with new clients, it's just a little bit of educating them that, like, hey, this is what totally. This is how we're going to do it. Like, I'm going to work on a motion test. I'll post that. If you like how that looks, we'll continue and iterate that into the entire piece. And just yeah. letting them know that, like, hey, here's the process.
Yeah. I'm actually curious if any of yeah. the people listening have tips for anything in their process specifically that they do that really helps the feedback loop. Because this is, like, I think the part of our, like, our talk here or discussion yeah. where we're really getting into, like, how if you set the table right, the meal will flow, you know? So
I like that.
That's a fun metaphor.
Yeah,
you gotta set the table. You gotta have the right dishes, you gotta have everything out,
Where's my fork?
Know the menu. Where is my salad fork? There is not enough prongs on this fork.
Right.
Anyway. What if the feedback is just the worst? Mm. We started both talking about Papyrus and Avatar and how nobody said to James Cameron, you can't do that. Like, who's gonna be the artist that says, James, friend, fellow type lover.
Not the best idea here.
Not the best use of this. But I think you can always just play this SNL video to say, like, you are making such a big mistake. James Cameron, Papyrus, Avatar mistake. that there will be an SNL video about you.
You showed me this before. I don't even think this is literally papyrus. Maybe that was the starting point, but they clearly modified this.
But whatever they did, it wasn't enough!
There's a lot of ways to persuade, right? And
that could be one of persuasion.
Them. Yes.
Yeah, that could be one of them. Ryan Gosling can do it on behalf of us at this point. Okay, so here's another thing like that we get into. You build out these schedules, you create processes. There's always feedback at the last second. And there's just no time to do it. You're like, how did that person never see this before? Like, what the
right,
hell?
Right, if you're just out of time.
Out of time. So there's two things you can do, in my experience. And again, I'm open to other suggestions, and I'm open, obviously, to your suggestions also. But in my experience, there's two things to do. You have to acknowledge the ask, because if you just say, that's not a problem, maybe that'd be my problem, but it's certainly their problem.
Yeah.
So you have to acknowledge it. I understand why you're asking for this change, but we're like delivering in 3 hours.
Right.
So I suggest we lean into avenues that address the intention of the note, because what you're specifically asking for can't be done, but let's think about it. If you want the logo to be more prominent, like maybe the background, maybe it shouldn't be over footage. Maybe there's like suggestions that we can kind of do to address it without, you know.
So you're offering solutions as opposed to just a hard no.
Right. And that could at least kind of maybe get you closer. I can't tell you how many times this works. This works a lot because usually there's an issue that they're trying to solve and they're giving you what they believe or what their boss believed was the way to do that, but it might not be. And I think they're open to just that last minute change happening, however it can happen. It's just like, oh no, there's out of time. So in a way you kind of come out being a hero there. The other thing is you gotta say no. Nope, we cannot do that today. It's just not gonna happen. I'm really sorry, you know, that these other ideas, I have no idea how we're gonna accomplish that. But if we push our delivery from in 3 hours to in 3 days, and we add $12,000 to the budget so that I can build out a team and build,
we can get this done. Yeah.
We can get this done. And that happens a lot. And a lot of times there's a signature that goes on an overage. Usually it means that another one of our jobs that's about to pick up gets a little derailed. So we have to manage that internally, and that like really, really sucks. But, you know, asset management, you know, that's always part of our...
It's a moving puzzle.
You know, the scope can kind of... We call it scope creep.
Mm-hmm.
The scope kind of creeps. And the way to keep scope creep under control is to create a clear bid. You know, this is what we're going to do. This is when it's going to be done. This is how you can influence it. Done. You know, if all of a sudden there's a new 9/16 deliverable and everything was built 16/9, it's going to take a little time to change all the layouts in our piece from this to this. So more money, more time.
More time.
And they're used to that. I mean, they're clients, so they're used to, you know, that's how it is on their side too. When somebody wants more of something, you don't just give it to them. They pay for it.
You pay for it. Yep.
You pay for it. So there's like an appropriate way to do that so that they feel like they're not necessarily being swindled. Because sometimes they get like that, like, why it shouldn't be that much? And it's like, well, yeah, it is. You just kind of got to explain like what that means for your process, how many artists it's going to take, how long it's going to take. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, then I can explain that to the people that are then going to ask me for backup, like why that's happening. Okay, I feel like I've talked enough about feedback.
Cool.
But I'm looking forward to the feedback our listeners.
Hearing from y'all. What kind of feedback do you have? Maybe feedback stories, feedback for us.
Us.
Tell us how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We love feedback.
We do love it. And we're good at not taking it personally. So no feedback about the extra chin. We know.
Feedback about the hair.
He knows.
Feedback about the beard.
It's looking, you know, my husband commented that it looks nice, that it's tidy.
The beard?
Yeah.
Okay.
He saw before and after from when we started.
Right.
And now, right. And he was really... Right.
But you gave me some feedback on my hair. I said, how do you like, I grow the hair out? And you were like, nope.
Nope. Only one of us can have beautiful flowing locks. I mean, right. Right. Why are you taking my signature look?
It's mainly laziness. It's lazy. I'm just lazy.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Yeah. We'll
Till next time.
More in 2 weeks. Peace.